was, of course, Queen and David Bowie. And one job where the pressure is on, of course, is standing in front of an orchestra and a cast and conducting a show. And fledgling conductor Blake Houlihan is the musical director of the Gilbert and Sullivan Society of WA's new production of The Gondoliers. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning, Penny. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about how you started off thinking about being a conductor, because for people that haven't really ever thought about it, it's not the kind of thing you learn at school, is it?
Well, not in Australia so much, no. You do a little bit maybe over in Europe or something, but no, so for me it was largely about, it all happened about in university where I studied at the WA Academy of Performing Arts, so I started as a trumpet player, and then one thing led to another, you might say, and I started conducting little bits in ensembles and a little bit, you know, for certain classes that we might have, and I really fell in love with it. A lot of that is thanks to my teacher, Jessica Gessen, who is also the head of conducting and orchestral studies at WAPA now, and she's really given me a lot of guidance and sort of pushed me in the right direction in that regard.
Yes, it's a big job to take on, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, a lot of responsibility to quite a few different things, particularly in a show like this where you also have a cast, not just an orchestra. You have principals and you have a whole lot of moving cogs, you might say.
I suppose one nice thing about being the MD of a show like The Gondoliers is that you have that rehearsal practice along, you know, as well, unlike a symphony orchestra where you might come in and do a rehearsal and then you're on. At least you have a chance to get that nice relationship going with the cast. And of course, I imagine it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes. It's one of the most fulfilling things I do musically, for sure. I mean, I still love to play and I like to teach as well. I teach the trumpet and a few other brass instruments, but conducting really, it scratches an itch that I didn't realize I had for quite a while until I really got into it. And then I think the more you do, the more you realize it's a really special way to interact with music. And yeah, for sure, it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah, and probably equally not for everybody.
Oh, it's hard to be put on the spot sometimes, particularly the you might say that the bigger the orchestra, the less you feel it sometimes, which sounds a bit counterintuitive, but some of the most intimidating performances that I've done have actually been with chamber ensembles, and particularly when you have I was really lucky to do one particular performance with some very high-level musicians, and that can be very intimidating as a emerging conductor, so to speak, because it feels like you have a lot to prove, even if they're really lovely, and they were very, very lovely musicians. You feel like you have to really rise to the best of your game to make it worth their while, and that can be very intimidating. So if you, not so much if you can't handle the pressure, but if you aren't a fan of being put on the spot in a lot of different ways, it might not be for you, but I encourage everyone to give it a try, even if it's just to see how what it's like and maybe have a little bit more understanding of what conductors actually do, because it can be a bit of a mystery.
I also see on your CV that you've worked with Alice Farnham, who of course comes over for the Women on the Podium program, which is another one of my many hats. But she's a wonderful, well, her and Jessica are absolutely forging paths through the conducting world in a world that was traditionally very much dominated by men, but you know, people are trying to redress that balance. And how does that feel? Do you, because I know you did the what, there's a question here somewhere, you did the WAZO emerging conductors performance, and of course you were surrounded by quite a number of women.
Yes, I think working with Alice, and particularly when you read, I mean, when you look at the book that she's also released recently, she and Jess, of course, and the Women on the Podium program as a whole, I think it's the further I get into conducting, the more I realize how important it is, because I think going through the WASO Emerging Conductor Program, which was really my first foray into discovering what conducting actually is, rather than just having fun with it and experiencing it in small doses, so to speak, the more you realize that there still are a lot of issues in that regard to address, particularly as you get outside of Australia and go and look bigger, it really is a big problem. It still needs to be addressed quite a lot. And I think I was really lucky to work with so many women in, you know, obviously the fantastic Jen Winley was my mentor for that program with WASO. And, you know, we got into contact with Alice through that program as well, because she taught a lot of the people in that program. And you start to realize that camaraderie almost is so important, and it's so important to support each other and try and bring everyone up to that level, not just, you know, sort of addressing it as a problem, but just for everyone to reach a degree of awareness, but also for everyone to understand that a conductor doesn't look just one way. A conductor can be anyone, and a conductor can, as long as they are respectful and a very aware musician, it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you can do the job. And I think that's really important to recognize.
And I think that's quite a new concept, really, because I think for many, many years, if you watch anything, you know, the really pioneering female conductors were very much told they couldn't do it, and women were not able to conduct. I mean, really weird. It's not like it's, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Not like it's boxing, is it?
Even still, like, it's just, I think you look at the quote unquote great maestros of that era, and, you know, of the old days in the past, you know, they all looked a very specific way. And then even if you look at the first real big named conductors who were women, you know, Maren Alsop, for example, they also seemed to have to try and look that way as well for a while. If you look, even until fairly recently, it was rare to see women just trying to be themselves on the podium. For whatever reason, they had this pressure still put on them. But I feel like that's very much changing now. And I've been lucky enough to meet and work with some fantastic conductors who, you know, just are unequivocally themselves. And I think that is, you're going to get a much more genuine, but also the result you're going to get is going to be have much more integrity, I think, if you are just yourself. And orchestras, they will see right through you if you're trying to be anything but yourself, musically and otherwise, on the podium. And I think it's very important that conductors strive to just, you know, what they ask of the orchestra is nothing but what they actually want. They're not trying to do it for ego reasons or narcissism reasons or for any other reason than just to get the best result musically. I think that's really important.
Now let's talk about the Gondoliers. Did you grow up with Gilbert and Sullivan, or is this sort of a new venture for you?
It's yes and no. I didn't grow up with Gilbert and Sullivan, but I started playing their music in orchestras probably from when I was a teenager. I was lucky to go to a school which had a fairly good music program, and we got to play a lot of repertoire. And then I played a little bit with them, and then my first real experience with it was playing the Suite from Pirates for Penzance. And that was really a lot of fun, but at the time I didn't really understand. I thought, oh yeah, this is cute music, this is fun. But it got to the point where I think my first time really understanding Gilbert and Sullivan was actually doing this particular show, because I've never had to look so deeply into their music. But the more you do, the more you realize, oh, actually, this isn't just fun music. There's a lot to it. So, yes, yes and no.
Yes, I always think that perhaps they would have had more success internationally if it wasn't so much based around the words, because the words are so clever and the humour is so sort of rooted in that English speaking tradition. Very hard to translate. I think the Europeans would just be a little bit confused, and so often I wonder if that's why, you know, whereas maybe the Leha or the other operettas, the Strauss, you know, was easy to translate into English, perhaps the reverse was not true.
I 100% agree. I think, I mean, even in rehearsals at the moment, I mean, I studied the score. I did all of the necessary, you know, translations, as you know, as you would hope a conductor would do. But we're still finding words that we go, I missed that completely, and I don't know what that means whatsoever. And I think, yeah, perhaps they're, I mean, one could argue their success, they didn't feel the need to get outside of the UK that much because they were so successful in their own right, but I wonder if that is also largely hindered, that like they're spreading across Europe and further, was hindered by that just the sheer volume of words and difficult English words as well. It wasn't necessarily in any way dulled down. They were using very specific words for very specific reasons, but that makes it harder to translate, I would guess, for sure.
Yeah, when you say translate, it is in English.
Translate to other, yes, it is in English, but yeah, if you were to try and say, let's put this into German.
Oh, yes, but when you said you've done your translations, what you mean is you've looked up some of the words that you didn't understand. It's very, no shame.
Yes. I mean, that except for the numbers of, I mean, there is an entire number in Italian, which we are very much working on our pronunciation.
Ah, very good.
They with the gondoliers, went
set in Italy.
All the way.
Obviously. Set in Venice.
Yes. So set in Venice, and this particular production, a little bit of a something to look forward to is actually we're winding the clock back just a little bit, so it's even earlier than 1750. But you have to come in to work out where that actually lies.
Mm. And where and when can we see it? I'm talking to Blake Houlihan, who's the musical director of a new production of The Gondoliers, which is directed by Paul Treasure. And it is, when's your opening night?
So we open on the 16th of May, which is a Thursday night, and we're going to run all the way through to the 25th of May, which is the Saturday. We'll be doing two shows on a Saturday, so you'll have a matinee and an evening performance. You can book tickets through the gnswa.org.au website. All the info's on there if you want to have a bit of a read and find out what's going on. And it's at the Dolphin Theatre as well, which is in the UWA campus. It's a really nice theatre and we're very lucky to have it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to me. I'm going to play you out with Take a Pair of Sparkling Eyes, which I think is probably the hit of the show.
Well,
would you agree?
I was going to request if I had the opportunity. Thank you so much, Penny. It's been really great to chat to you.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
If you can, take all these you lucky men, take and keep them if you can.
was take a pair of sparkling eyes from the Gondoliers, which is an absolutely beautiful tune. If you're interested in that, you can grab some tickets to go and see the West Australian Gilbert and Sullivan Society, the Gilbert and Sullivan Society of WA, who will be performing that opening on the 16th of May at the Dolphin Theatre, conducted by Blake Houlihan. So we're going to hear from some of our sponsors, and then I will be talking to Caitlin Cassidy, who is part of the Street Arts Festival. Street Arts Festival, I have to be careful how I say that, among many other things. So don't go anywhere.
Investing for your future can be quite an adventure. For over 20 years, Perth-based investment specialist Sentinel Financial Group has been helping West Aussies grow their wealth and superannuation safely and securely with proven investment strategies and professional advice. Sentinel can help anyone from first-time to experienced investors and are currently managing over $1.3 billion in client funds. Sentinel maintain a high level of client interaction at all times using the latest strategic investment technology, ensuring you the best experience possible. So contact a Sentinel investment professional today. Or for more information, please visit our website, sentinelgroup.com.au. Sentinel Financial Group, proud sponsor of Radio Fremantle.